welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues. But the twist is that we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And I'm going to introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, we have attorney Anthony Bandero. He is with Blue the Gold. He actually is the founder of Blue the Gold, experts on search and seizure. We're going to be hearing more from him in a few. Also, we have retired Captain Brett Bartlett from the Tampa Bay area, 32 years of law enforcement experience. Also the founder of Exemplar Defense at Exemplar Defense Solutions. Exemplar Defense Solutions at ExemplarDefense.com. I don't want to get that wrong, Brett, because I know you'll give it to me afterwards. And then very special panelist, Scott Steyert, a fantastic special forces background. And he was formerly with Stag Arms, which I know that just about everybody's familiar with Stag, and they love Stag. But Stag recently got acquired by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. And of course, you see next to Scott's name, if you're watching the video portion of the show, it says Aero Precision. So thanks for being on the show, Scott. It brings a very interesting perspective to the show and asks some just fantastic questions. And allows us the opportunity to give some good clarity to what we do and why we do what we do. So some good stuff. Also, Aero Precision is our new satellite sponsor, getting us on Westwood One Satellite. Yeah, they're owned by Cumulus Radio. So, yeah, can't wait. This satellite thing's going down. Also, a shout out to our sponsors, Aero Precision, Gauls, AU Fire, Gunlearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.live. Also, a shout out to Brian Burns with the free press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. And Ray Dietrich, RedVoiceMedia.com. We're streaming the 8 locations right now, soon to be more. And out of those 8 locations, 3 belong to Red Voice Media, and those 3 Facebook pages alone have about 1 million followers, which is incredible. So thanks to Ray Dietrich and Red Voice Media for helping make that happen. So we have a great lineup. I'm just going to kind of whet your appetite with some of the topics. The first one's the main topic, and it's really, there's a transcript of the video, but it's really a short video. And it's, we asked a Wisconsin U.S. rep, what is Donald Trump really like? The answer will make you tear up. I have to agree with that. It's Congressman Derek Van Orden. Wow, it's just impressive. We'll get to that in a minute. California AG declines to file charges against an LAPD officer involved in a fatal department store shooting. Then we got a suspect reverses a classic muscle car. I cringe when I see this classic muscle car crashing into the LAPD car or LASD car, but crashes into a Los Angeles sheriff's deputy car, and then he jumps out with a knife. Apparently, when he jumped out of the car, he forgot that it was elevated. He goes straight down to the ground, but then he jumps up in time to get shot by the deputies. Then we have a police officer wounded, a suspect dead in an overnight ambush in Albany. And then finally, Memphis officer may have been killed by friendly fire, according to the DA. They've released that information. So, we've got some wild stuff. So let's go to lawofficer.com. We asked a Wisconsin U.S. rep, what is Donald Trump really like? The answer will make you tear up. So in this article, it says, what is Donald Trump really like? They asked Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden, a Republican and a former Navy SEAL. So he's probably stomping buddies with, Scott. They're probably, probably texting each other right now. Do you want to know, he asked. So the congressman is asking, do you really want to know what Donald Trump is like? And the girl, who's a reporter, she's not really knowing that she's getting ready to step on a bomb here. And she says, yeah, sure, I'd really like to know. So the answer is something all Americans should see, and they want to share it here. So it's Wisconsin Right Now podcast. And this is the interview that they were doing. So this is where the reporter was at. So Van Orden says, so remember, the reporter is asking this question, right? And then he said, you sure you want to know? She goes, yeah, let me know. So he goes, our daughter died of cancer this summer. Well, this is how this starts out, right? So she's like, oh, crap, why did I go here, right? So the congressman says, our daughter died of cancer this summer. She was Sydney Marie Van Orden Martinez, his eldest daughter. He says, so I finished running for Congress with a gravely ill daughter, and then she died right after I took office. You could have heard a pin drop. She was in the process of dying. My first year in Congress is terrible. It was the worst thing ever. The morning after my daughter's funeral, I was sitting in my widower son's basement, and my phone rings, and it was from Florida. And I don't have a lot of friends in Florida. Like, who's calling me from Florida? So I answered it, and it's Donald Trump. And I put it on speaker so my wife can hear. I walk upstairs, and Peggy, my cousin who helped me, raise me after our father abandoned us when I was an infant, because he offered, President Trump offered his condolences and said, I'm praying for you. How is Chris doing? He goes, and that's his daughter's widower's name. And he goes, I didn't even know that he knew Chris's name. And he says, Trump said, I want you to know that we care about you and your grandkids. And he goes, that's Donald Trump. No one's calling to tell you that. And he goes, And I talked to people. He's done that hundreds and thousands of times. And that phone call was not political. He knew I'd back him. That phone call was from one father to a grieving father is what he said. And that's the Donald Trump that no one's going to tell you about. They're just not going to say it. They refuse to believe that he's a human being and that he's caring, that he loves our country. That's Donald Trump. And on the other side of that, Jessica, who's the reporter, he goes, he's also the guy that when Vladimir Putin said, I'm going to invade Ukraine. You know what Trump told Vladimir Putin? He said, you invade Ukraine and I'm going to bomb the Kremlin. Those two things can exist in the same universe. Guess what? Vladimir Putin did not invade Ukraine under Trump. And so you can be loving and caring human being, which Donald Trump is. And you can also tell people right to their face, I will destroy you. I will destroy you if you harm an American. They're completely compatible, which is a neat way to close this. They're completely compatible because they're all based on love. And I know that sounds weird, but it's true. So I'm just reading, you really need to watch the dynamic of this interview to really to get it. But Scott, I know you're the first one to have your mic open. So you're up first, brother.
Well, a couple things. Of course, they've created a narrative with Trump. I mean, obviously, he's a human being. I'm not saying he's perfect by no means, right? But I think it's very evident that he loves this country. And so, obviously, they don't want to talk about that. But the other thing is, like, at the end of it, they say, how you can have two parallels exist where someone can say something like, we will bomb the Kremlin if you invade Ukraine. If you think about that, I think about what I did in the military. I was compassionate. And, there might be one day where I'm handing out candy and MRE to kids. And then that night I'm doing a killer captain mission. It really is. And it's not something that's new and different. It's like we're all capable of that. We're all capable of extreme violence, and we can do things that it goes against I wouldn't say human nature, but it goes against, norms of society is violent. And then on the same side, I'm a father, I have kids, I care. It's just the way it is, but a lot of people, they like to say, oh, well, you're capable of this, or you said this. And it's like, well, yeah, I mean, if he's the leader of the United States, you have to be able to go there. You have to be able to stomach it. You have to be able to make decisions like that, but at the same time, be compassionate. So,
yeah, that's excellent word picture you gave us. And you kind of forget that there's a lot of people that have a lot of roles like that. It's not really like tough love, but you can be tough and you can be two different people and just wear different hats, I guess, when the time's appropriate. So, if there's no more commentary on this, and I really say it, producer Will put this up, on the video portion of our show that comes out tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock on a Rumble channel called Leo Roundtable. So I encourage everybody to watch that. Moving along. Let's see. We've got an update article. Police won. California AG, the attorney general, declines to file charges against LAPD officer involved in a fatal department store shooting. Now, we covered this, and so I'm going to refresh everybody's memory. So we're in L.A., Los Angeles. California attorney general declined to file the criminal charges against a Los Angeles police officer. He fired a rifle at a suspect inside of a clothing store back in 2021, but he ended up killing a 14-year-old girl in a dressing room. This is what authorities said on Wednesday, but I remember when this thing came out. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Brett, I believe this was a ricochet. I think he had a long gun and he took a shot at the bad guy, and there was a chase and stuff going on, and there's a bunch of cops in there. And I think that the girl was in the dressing room with her mother. I believe she's down. She's praying because, they know that there's this thing going on inside the store. And I think it was a ricochet that took that unfortunately killed her. Officer William Dorsey Jones Jr. He fired three times when police responded to Burlington clothing store in San Fernando Valley. And that was where 24-year-old Daniel Elena Lopez, he brutally attacked two women on December the 23rd, 2021. So Valentina Orella Peralta was shot and killed as she prayed in a dressing room with her mother. Officer Jones also killed the suspect, though. So instead of criminal charges, officials recommended that LAPD should consider updating their communication training bulletin and any related training to account for the type of situation presented in the event. So basically, they want to see it addressed in training is what they're basically saying. The Department Civilian Oversight Board it ruled back in 2022 that Jones, the cop that fired, that he was actually justified in firing once, but they said that his two subsequent shots were out of policy. Now, remember Police Chief Michael Moore with LAPD. He's not there anymore. He recently left, but he previously found in his own review that all three shots were unjustified. So he actually found it and worse against the officer than the Civilian Complaint Review Board did. Now, the status of Jones' employment with the LAPD, they couldn't find out what it was as of Wednesday. It said he faced disciplinary action or even firing following the Civilian Police Commission's ruling, but he also was allowed to appeal decisions. The teen's parents filed a lawsuit in state court back in 2022 alleging wrongful death and negligence, which I'm sure we all saw that coming. So that's kind of where we're at on this thing. Captain Bartlett, start us off.
Well, I just love the way they word these news stories. They said the prosecutor declines to prosecute, and that this may be the language that they use.
Brett, and I'm so sorry. I'm seeing we've got 9 seconds before we start a commercial break. So let's go to the commercial break, buddy. All right, guys, it's time to talk about Gauls at Gauls.com/Leo. Hopefully Captain Bartlett can help us out with this one. You know, if you've been watching our show for any amount of time, and Anthony Bandiero is kind of smiling right now, but if you've been watching our show, you're familiar with the new Gauls at Gauls.com/Leo, the country's leading uniform, clothing, equipment, and gear provider for law enforcement. And they have a variety of offerings, everything from multi-tools and flashlights to duty boots and tactical gear. And as a famous person once said, he's on the show, Captain Brett Bartlett, they pretty much have everything for law enforcement except for guns and ammo. So Captain Bartlett, what's going on at Gauls this week?
They have I pulled this up. They got a great sale on Merrell Moab boots. I wear Merrell all the time. They're very, very comfortable. $60 off their boot. They're down to $99 a pair. And I know they're expensive, but man, I love mine.
Yeah, that's a great deal. You said $60 off. Wow.
$60 off, yep.
Yeah, Gauls.com/Leo, guys. And hey, they also have a uniform program that's second to none. Gauls.com/Leo. You'll be glad that you did. Now, introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. Yes, long guns. Born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know they know what they're doing. Aero Defense by Aero Precision, they demand perfection because if you settle for anything less, it's not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline. They have something for everybody. Since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR Builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with Solus Bolt Action. So stay tuned because the M4E1 Pro and the Mod 4 handguards are getting ready to hit AeroPrecisionUSA.com later this year. The embodiments of duty rifle excellence, and they're now being tailored for the civilian customer, which is you guys. So now you get your hands on this primo stuff. So in addition, their M5 AR-308 platform, a great sniper platform, that's nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less when you can have the best. Go to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. All right, guys, welcome back to Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. Thanks for sticking with us over the commercial break. You know, we had just gone through Captain Bartlett, but was commenting on the last story. Sorry we had to go to the commercial break, but Captain, you have the floor. You have the conch.
Oh, not like I want it now after all that. Well, again, then they said they declined to prosecute. What they should say is we're not going to prosecute. There's no reason to prosecute, but I understand they have to use their own language. And how much time goes between a shot that is okay and shots are outside policy? If you're really getting on that trigger, you know, it takes a lot more time to stop shooting than to start shooting. But it's California.
Yeah. I mean, Scott, I mean, you know, it's just, I mean, look, these things are going to happen, but
yes, and that's the thing. I don't know the details of it. You know, obviously, you know, the first thing that came to mind was shot placement and being in the, you know, but at the same time, you know, you're right. It does happen. It should be extremely rare. And I would probably say in most cases, it can be avoided. But it does happen. Absolutely. I've seen some of the best, most, you know, well-trained people in the world. It does happen. And here's the thing too, that officer, he has to live with that for the rest of his life. I mean, that is horrible. I couldn't imagine having to live my life knowing that happened. So, it is tragic. And I don't understand the retraining with communication. I don't know how that's going to help. I think if anything, it's just, you know, I go back to train more on the gun. If you look at a lot of these situations, the ones that I've seen and the ones that we talk about, I think the training should be placed more on shooting skills and stress inoculation while shooting. And I think that right there would solve a lot of the problems, in my opinion.
Well, you're right. And I'm seeing more police agencies, you know, going to that you know, fire under stress, basically. And I know Brett's still involved in the training. And of course, Anthony, he's got, if there's a gun that's ever been made, you know, in this country or another one, he's probably got it. So, Anthony.
Well, look, I actually used this video in my training to show the good things about what those cops did. I thought the communication was really, really good. LAPD to me is one of the better agencies that communicate, you know, while they're in active shooter situations or high stress situations. They talk, they say, you know, slow down. They don't move too fast. And then I just show it as an example, like even if you are, you know, a top performer, and I thought overall LAPD did a good job there. Tragedy happens, and you can't necessarily prevent that. I mean, I don't know if it was a ricochet. I thought it was a direct shot through the through the wall, but of course the cops did not know anybody was in there or was not aiming for that place. But it's right. A tough situation.
Well, look, Anthony, I mean, look, we all know that you like LAPD because of Tony McBride. I mean, let's just get that out there.
Very much.
Get that elephant.
We all do. What are you talking about?
And their shirts are usually pretty tight, you know, so I'm attracted to that too. So it's pretty good.
I still am just can't get over the fact that she's not the poster child for the agency. I mean, could you imagine being just a sheriff or a police chief, have an agency and Tony McBride wants to come work for your agency? I just cannot believe the missed opportunity. I mean, really, especially for minorities, for females or whatever, you know, oh my gosh, put her on every billboard in the city and try to get recruitment up. And I mean, you know, and remember that shot, you know, that when she shot that bad guy six times and all six shots hit their mark. I mean, just amazing, you know, so.
Yeah, you know. That's what you remember.
All right, moving along. Anybody else on this last topic? If not, okay, we'll move on. All right, I'm not even gonna go there, Brett. So look, we're gonna get to our first story with a video component. I've got 3 minutes and 40 some seconds left, Brett, so I'm watching the clock this time. For people that are not used to the show, look, we cover a lot of stories that have video components, and if you're listening to our show audibly, so maybe by podcast, your favorite radio station, please stay loyal to those platforms that are bringing you this good quality content, and in return we'll describe in great detail what's going on so you don't feel like you're missing out on anything if by some chance you have to watch that video. We take this live show and we reproduce it the very next morning at 9 o'clock. And we embed all the videos that we talk about, put pictures of the good guys and the bad guys. It's a really unique way to watch the show. And again, that comes out on a Rumble channel at 9 o'clock the next morning. We do that Tuesday through Saturday. So you always have that option. So at rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter, suspect reverses a classic muscle car into a Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputy car. Then he jumps out with a knife and is fatally shot. So deputies up and fire on a man armed with a knife in a deadly shooting that followed a domestic violence call in Long Beach. And Long Beach, pretty cool place, actually. Deputies were called at about 9 p.m. on Tuesday in Paramount on a restraining order violation call. Now, they spoke with the victim, and then they see the suspect. The report, he's driving by the home. So before they stop this red vintage muscle car at the intersection, you know, all the stuff is going on. So LA County Sheriff's Office deputies, they pull him behind the driver. And then all of a sudden, this guy reversed the car and he crashes into the front of the deputy's patrol car behind him. But he doesn't just crash. He kind of rides up on top of the hood. So the rear end of this muscle car is on top of the hood in like the windshield area. So the car is, you know, the front end of the car is down, the rear end's up. So the Sheriff's Department cruiser ends up wedged under the rear of the muscle car. They think it's maybe a 70s era Pontiac Ventura. I think that Brett, you impregnated your wife in one of those cars. Yeah. You could probably add some expert testimony, whether that was a Pontiac Ventura 70s era or not. But anyhow, I digress. The man gets out of the car carrying a knife, but when he takes a step out, he's not aware that he's elevated, and he just goes straight down to the pavement. There's like probably, what, a 3-foot drop. And then he gets up. He's still got the knife, and then he's, you know, going towards the deputy, and he dies at the scene. Deputies, you know, they shoot him. And the deputies, I guess one of them was injured in the confrontation. I don't know. I don't really remember what happened with that one, but he's in stable condition. So he's good to go. But commentary on this, Brett or Scott, either one of you guys start us off.
Well, first, I'm not sure my kids are mine, but go ahead. Rest of you.
That's good.
So when I looked at that, I mean, overall, it was, you know, I thought the cops did a great job. I mean, if I had to nitpick a little bit here, the one cop that got out of his car, he was in between where the cop was shooting here on his left. And he had, I thought, a great position, because you don't ever want to be, if you can help it, you don't ever want to be like in line where, you know, basically you're side by side. Sometimes you don't have a choice, but they almost had like the perfect L, you know. So this guy over here was like a flanking guy, and this guy over here who was doing the commands and everything, he had the perfect shot.
So
and
you're talking about the cop that got out on the passenger side, and then he went behind the car and he went to the
car. Yeah. Right. And I was like, well, you know, again, that's minor. It worked out. And I think he was probably thinking, well, you know what, if I get behind the car, maybe I have some concealment or cover. But you know, anytime that I can get away from one of the other, you know, officers and be able to have a better angle. So, you know, if that guy was to come out, if he had a gun and started shooting, it's a lot easier to shoot two people standing side by side versus somebody on the flank side. So I thought, you know, he was already in a good spot. I think it was, you know, it would have been good. It would have given him a different vantage point versus the other officer. But again, that's just, it's small. I think overall they handled that very, very well.
All right. Thanks, guys. Well, guys, we just have seconds till we come up on our commercial break, and I caught it on time, and we're going to be talking about Blue the Gold, believe it or not. So, guys, stick with us. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, are you struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or are you worried about the liability in case you get it wrong? Say hello to bluethegold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to bluethegold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, next week, Crash Investigations. So sign up at bluethegold.com today and join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game, because frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. That's bluethegold.com. All right. So now we're going to be talking about AU Fire at AUFire.com. It stands for Accuracy Under Fire. It's the gold standard in tactical simulation. And for the first time ever, agencies and LEOs can now safely simulate being hit by gunfire, knives, and other objects in their dynamic force-on-force scenario. So if you've ever wondered how your officers would react or wish you could train them in real-world situations, now you can, all while improving their decision-making, return fire accuracy, and life preservation skills thanks to AUFire.com. All right, guys, and welcome back to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. You know, I know that we were just talking about our first story that had a video component. So, Scott, I think that you are still up, brother. Did you want to go on that, Scott, or your mic was open? Or?
Oh, no, yeah, it's open.
I mean, the whole fact that they're going to take a vintage car and they're going to back it up into a cruiser, I mean, there's just something wrong with that to start off with, you know. But, I didn't know. But, Anthony, I can't remember who was going to talk before we went to a commercial break, but not to throw you under the bus, Scott, but...
I just had a couple quick comments. Obviously, Scott is way above my level as far as his tactics. I didn't actually understand half the things he said, but the one thing I did want to say is, number one, I did read the autopsy report on the driver, and actually the coroner said he died of lead poisoning, just so you know that. And number two, this is very important. I love it when cops are calm in a high stress situation. I got to tell you, most of my Southern California cops do it the best. You know, they just are very calm on these calls, and just the cops that are watching, going to watch that video, please take it to heart. Be calm and in control. The yelling, the screaming, it actually adds to a bad outcome. It also makes the cop look a little out of control when we go to juries on this. So from the legal point of view, great job, Ellis, LASD.
Okay. All right. Did you guys see the guy get out of the car, and I'm watching, all of a sudden he disappears. and then I realized what happened. He didn't realize, he forgot that he was elevated, you know, when he reached on the driver's side. But
yeah, you know, I would say being calm is just, it's a sign that the officer is confident in his ability, and he knows what, you know, he knows the rules. He knows what, when he's able to shoot, you know, he's confident. And you only get confidence through training. He's confident in his ability to shoot his rifle or his gun. He's confident in his decision-making process. He's confident in his tactics. And if you're confident and you train, and you train under stress, then in those situations, you're going to react better, because it's when you're amped up and everything. And then you just, you know, you become very narrow-minded. You're not focused. You know, you don't have that open mind. You're not seeing everything. You know, it's like, when I would train cops, there's times where, and this is just simunition. We would, you know, the cops would go into a room, they clear the room. We have a guy in there, and he's shooting at him. And these, I mean, literally just with simunition and the stress of getting shot at, while you're moving in a room, trying to, you know, gather all the information. And some of these cops would shoot, they didn't even look at their sights, and they're pulling the trigger, and they rarely hit the bad guy. And I'm like, what did you? And then I ask him, what did you see, and why did you shoot? And he's like, they didn't know. I'm not busting on his ass, but it just goes to prove the point. If you train under stress and you get used to that, then you know you see everything in the room. You're not so narrowly focused. You know, you see everything. It's like a chess match, and then you're able to make better decisions.
Just real quick, Chip. I want to just feed off one thing that Scott said, that stress inoculation. I'm big into that because I've been to academies where they're like colleges, and I've been to academies where they have a paramilitary. The paramilitary academies do add stress inoculation, and I think it's very important.
I absolutely agree. I don't know how we got away from that with a lot of training. I know that even when Brett and I have a long training history, and I know that even a college that we were teaching out of got away with that or got away from that. So
I don't know how they still get away. The Supreme Court a long time ago, and I'm paraphrasing a lot, qualification is not training. I don't know why some agency hasn't had its butt handed to them, but here's what I used to hear all the time. Brett, we'd love to train firearms, but we got to fill zones. We got to put cops on the street. And the Fed guys, they go, well, we shoot four times a year. I said, you're not answering calls. That's why you can get to shoot four times a year.
Yeah,
it's true.
You know, you can never have enough training. But then again, if you have a commander in chief, you know, sheriff, police chief, and they don't have a training. Let me just say that I've noticed that if they have a training background, they're a lot more comfortable in letting guys get off the street. But I've worked for people that don't even want people on task force. They want all the manpower they can get and don't want to split it up or dilute it for any reason. So if there's nobody else on this one, we'll jump on to our next story of the video component, rumble.com. We're still on This Is Butter. Police officer ends up being wounded. A suspect is dead in an overnight ambush attack in Albany.
Come here.
So police in Albany, New York, are investigating an officer-involved shooting that happened Wednesday morning. Chief Eric Hawkins calls it an ambush. It happens about 12:30 in the morning near the College of St. Rose. Now, the officer's conducting a traffic stop, and he ends up getting shot by the suspect. The two exchanged gunfire. The suspect's now deceased. So the officer attempted to stop the car for speeding. He's unable to successfully stop the driver. Dash camera video from the police car shows the chase between the officer and the suspect, and a short time later, the officer sees the car parked, but he basically breaks off the chase. They're going down residential areas. It's nighttime. I mean, it's just after midnight, and this guy's just going crazy fast. There's cars. I mean, it's narrow streets, cars. And it's just kind of hazardous. So the officer breaks off the chase, but then he sees the car parked on the side of the road, attempts to make contact with the driver. And as soon as he approaches the vehicle and he gets out, he gets ambushed. It says from behind the vehicle, but it's the bad guys behind his vehicle, and he just starts shooting the cop into the body. Camera footage shows from Albany police. It shows the moment the officer left the vehicle to conduct a traffic stop. He takes fire, and in the video, you can hear the officer yelling, "Shots fired!" So we don't get a lot that happened after that, but we do know that the bad guy ended up being dead, and the officer hit this exchange. So commentary on this, guys. I mean, you can never. We just got done talking about traffic stops and how important they are. And the guys who get all the training, like the feds, they don't do this stuff. You know, we need it, the guys that are on the street and stuff. But any commentary, guys? I see that everybody's fighting to go first, so I've got a bunch of them.
I want to hear what Scott has to say. I mean, he's the resident expert on this issue.
Well, the video is very short, so I really couldn't tell. But he gets out. It looks like he doesn't have his firearm drawn. Just because you can see the shadow on the ground, it looks like his firearm is still in the holster. From what I can tell,
I think you're probably right.
And so I think because I was like an ambush, that didn't really look like an ambush, but I think they're calling it an ambush because the officer was just simply walking towards him. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't prepared to draw or you know, because his gun was still in a holster. So, right. I've never been a cop, you know, and I know there's not always a time where you want to draw your weapon on a traffic stop. I mean, I know this is probably unrealistic, but. I think in that situation, I probably would have had my pistol.
Yeah, the guy just fled, right, Scott? I mean, the guy, high speed, the way he's driving. First of all, even when he came onto the cops' radar, I mean, there may be something going on with this guy. He's super fast in a quiet town. Mm-hmm. He flees. Oh, that's gun time. I mean, at least at the low ready. I mean, you don't have to point as
I agree.
Do a felony stop, but Absolutely.
Yeah, now, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Now, the cop took out the bad guy, though. I wish we had more video that where we could kind of, you know, see that or have more information about that. But so I was surprised at the end, the way the story ended, because if you just watch the video, you're going to think there's going to be a completely different ending, right? So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So, well, speaking of different endings, let's jump to an update here on Police One. Memphis officer may have been killed by friendly fire, the DA reveals. So not a great thing, but they're, I mean, you look, we talk about things happening, things that doesn't mean it's right, but the Shelby County District Attorney's Office revealed that a Memphis cop, his name is Joseph McKinney, originally thought to have been killed by two teenage suspects, that he's likely the victim of friendly fire during an early morning shootout, according to Action News 5. So it says that although current information indicates friendly fire, we believe the 17-year-old's reprehensible actions are still the real cause of Officer McKinney's death. So you may see like a felony murder charge. I don't think there's been one yet. The shootout occurred when police responded to reports of a stolen car, 2 o'clock in the morning. There was gunfire. It wounded 5 individuals, including both suspects and 3 officers. Both Officer McKinney, the one that died, and an 18-year-old suspect, they were killed in the encounter. And a quote says that our office recently released a statement with our intent to file a motion to transfer the 17-year-old involved in the officer-involved shooting to adult court. We have not proceeded with a murder charge at this time because current information indicates that Officer McKinney was killed by friendly fire, according to the DA. So not great news, but again, it's important to be aware of this stuff because it all comes down to training. Scott?
Yeah. So one of the things that we would do in the military is like starting off, you know, in basic training, if you're in infantry or if you know, in special forces, even some of the, you know, the fundamental training you learn is small unit tactics. Okay. And that's basically, it's like how to react to an ambush, how to react to fire, you know, all this stuff. And they always teach you that, you know, the element that is in contact, you know, you get online, so no one is behind the next person. And then if there's an element that's not in contact, they're going to become the flanking element, you know, terrain permitting. But it's always this concept of like, where is my buddy at, you know, and do I have safe fields of fire? So you're not shooting behind somebody. And you have to be, you know, in my training, I say, be predictable. If you don't have a tactic, if you don't train in a tactic to where if you're getting shot at, and then all of a sudden you're going to do some unpredictable, like in a room, for example, if I get off the wall, you know, if I don't go opposite of the man in front of me, you're not predictable. But under fire, and under stress, if you do something predictable, then the officer or whoever's involved in the shooting, they know that there's no chance that that person is going to go running in front of you in a course of shooting, you know, shooting somebody in a course of a firefight. So knowing where your buddy's at, knowing that when you take that shot, you're in the right position to take the shot because you worked the tactic correctly. It's so important and it's so fundamental. And I think in law enforcement, because not all law enforcement officers come from infantry background or military background, and you're not training in SUT.
All right. Well, look, thank you, Scott. Appreciate it. Commercial break, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys. No matter how much you know about guns and ammunition or how much you think that you know, there's that knowledge gap that leaves you confused and missing the complete picture. GunLearn.com, they've taken the confusion out of learning. They've actually made it easy. GunLearn.com is the first and it's the only company that offers a step-by-step program that takes you from your present knowledge level to become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our Captain Brett Bartlett here. Now, they provide citations from federal law and ATF rulings for every point taught to ensure accuracy, and their training is approved by major forensic organizations, by law enforcement agencies, and also firearm manufacturers. Since 1996, they've taught everything that LEOs, that's law enforcement officers, need to know about firearms and ammunition to all facets of law enforcement. Now, you can start the day with online training, or you can sign up to attend a live seminar, and you can actually get free training for yourself and the personnel at your agency by hosting a seminar at no cost. So come aboard as one of the most firearm knowledgeable people in the world by joining the folks at GunLearn.com. Again, that's GunLearn.com. All right, guys, welcome back to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. That was our last commercial, so we're on our last 9.5-minute stretch of the show. So, guys, where did we leave off? Who? Anybody next on this? Or Scott, go ahead.
Yeah, we were talking about the friendly fire shooting.
Oh, yeah.
And again, I don't know the I don't know the exact details, but I can only assume is, you know, they were under stress and they were not being predictable and they weren't thinking about where their buddy was. And they're just, you know, in my mind, you know, again, I wasn't there and I didn't even see the video. But that's where I see most problems is just not understanding the fundamentals of being in a firefight, being predictable, knowing where you're supposed to be at, knowing where your buddy's at, knowing your sectors of fire and all that. That seems like a lot. And it is, especially under stress, which is why you have to train that over and over and over again.
Let me scare you, Scott. In Florida, police officers only have to requalify once every 2 years, shooting 40 rounds at a target that's not trying to kill them. And it's available. You can see the data on what agencies train what. It's pitiful. So when these guys do good, I'm happy. When they do bad, I'm not shocked at all.
Right.
Not at all.
Yeah.
And go ahead, Scott.
Well, I was just gonna say it's a leadership thing, and I know there's a lot involved there. You know, it's like you said, they're short of manpower. They need people on the street. I totally get it. But it's like this, it's like this cycle. You know, you have the defund the police, and then you have less police officers, but then they have to have more training for sensitivity and communication, and all that, and, you know, whatever, you know pronouns and all this stuff that really has very little effect on something that has great consequences, like shooting. And, you know, even though it doesn't happen very often, the consequences are so grave. So, you know, in my mind, just if you can just train it seems so basic, but train the officers in shooting more and hand-to-hand more. And actually, it doesn't make them more aggressive. It makes them more calm, and they're actually going to react to a situation better. So it's instead, we're going in the opposite direction. And it's just, and that's why we're going to start seeing more and more of these, because they're not trained properly.
Yeah. I don't know if Chip, you want to spend more time on this, but the only thing I was going to say is from my legal brain is that, you know, the courts are split on whether, you know, the felony murder rule applies to this kind of activity, like when, or this incident where cops are shooting another cop. Should that murder be on, you know, should that be on the shoulders of the suspect as a murder? I will tell you that it's a controversial issue in the courts, because it seems like, hey, you know, if that's the case, then, you know, you are doing a relatively, you're burglarizing a house. You know, nobody's there, and the cop ends up getting shot by friendly fire, and now you not only have a burglary, you have a murder. The courts want to see some kind of foreseeability that the suspect would have potentially foresaw that this could have happened. And if that's true, I think that's a good case. But if they're like, there's no way, you know, these guys would have shot each other, then they probably it's probably not a fair murder charge in the big scheme of things, in my view.
Interesting. Well,
yeah.
Yeah. That is interesting.
Yep. Well, there is a story that I want to cover. I'm kind of going to go out of order, if that's okay with you guys. Brett and I have talked about, I talked about something in a scenario a while back, Brett, and you and I had a difference of opinion on something. But this is in my vision of a scenario going down where you actually need to grab the gun instead of, you know, getting in a shootout or backing away and pulling your gun out. This is kind of what I was thinking about. I don't know if you'll agree with me or not, but at rumble.com, this is a video number 5. That I sent out. And again, it's on our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. We have Rochester police, and this guy, cop, knocks a loaded gun out of a man's hand outside the East End bar. So a man's facing charges after a Rochester police officer knocks a loaded handgun out of his hand outside an East End bar, and it happened early on Sunday. So officers on bar, they're on bar detail, kind of like or Old Ybor City detail, right? They're on bar detail. They respond to a report of a disturbance around 2:20 a.m. See, now, Scott, I just saw a weakness in Scott's eye when I said the Ybor City, the bar, you know, I'm sure he's got some stories.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've got a really good story.
We're going to be talking about that off air. So we got body cam video appearing to show the officer approaching a man and wrestling the gun away. He pretty much just grabbed the gun. And I didn't see the guy put up much of a fight, but police said the club security helped the officers take Jonathan Dobbs, 42 years old, into custody. It's what he was carrying that impressed me. And this is the gun, the same gun and round that was used at a base shooting not long ago. Officers recovered an FN 5.7 pistol. It shoots at 5.7x28mm round, but it looks like he had the armor piercing round on this one. That sucker goes freaking 3,000 feet a second. Now, probably if you're shooting out of the P90 or the PS90, it'll achieve that velocity. It's probably not going to go quite that fast out of the pistol, but still it holds 20 rounds and it's still an armor piercing round. Police said the high velocity rounds capable of piercing body armor. So Dobbs, our bad guy, is charged with second and third degree criminal possession of a weapon. Police said that he was also served warrants from Monroe County Sheriff's Office in the state of Florida. So bona fide bad guy. I like this cop when he saw this gun and he was in such close proximity to the bad guy. The only option I saw the cop could do other than grabbing the gun, which is what I like to see. That's what I wanted to see, was to just back away and then try to draw this gun, which in my opinion would have taken more time. And then it's whoever can shoot who first, you know? So, but what do you guys think, Scott, why don't you start us off?
I thought that officer was switched on. That was good. Cause I mean, he's there, there's a lot of people around. He's trying to see everything that is happening and to be able to catch the pistol and that guy's hand, because he wasn't like he was flaunting it or anything. He was just kind of down by his side. So, I mean, that officer was switched on and he did the right thing and he grabbed, you know, his wrist there. So there's no way that he could be able to come up. I thought it was awesome. I thought it was pretty solid. Good job there for the officer being switched on in that situation.
Cat like reflexes, Brett, just like you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've lost my cat like reflexes. And if that's when he looked down, he saw it. That's, and it was that close. Good for him for doing something, moving in and taking care of business. If he had more time and there was more distance, he wouldn't have tried to do that. Mm-hmm. So he made a decision and he made it work. Good for him. Cause so many times they don't make a decision.
And then it's this firepower. I mean, he had the capability of some devastating stuff with this gun. So I was glad to see that. So, you know, Scott, if you come in for the shoot at the range, you know, if you bring some of that arrow stuff, I will bring my PS90 and my 5.7 pistol. I will bring both of those.
Deal. I would love to do it. I need to get down there. I need to bring some guns with me and we can have a good time at the range. That would be so much fun.
Yeah, now see, now look at Anthony. He just loves guns so much.
I want in on this.
He wants to see. I know the way he's thinking. So he's thinking, man, I gotta justify this trip. I gotta let the wife know. We gotta figure this
business,
out.
Business expense.
There you go. So we gotta make it happen. So we gotta hook up with Arrow and figure this out.
What we do, Chip, we can go into the range that I go to because they'll let us in before the store opens, and we'll have free run of the not free run. We'll have more access to the range.
Well, Brett, that's why you're on the show.
I know.
Connection.
I can't wait to get my AARP card too. Such great advantages.
Ouch. Ouch.
Wow.
It's a good thing that tomorrow I'll forget you said that.
Wow.
Exactly.
Oh my god.
We have Arthur Johnson's got a Smith & Wesson that shoots 5.7 28 millimeter. So
I didn't know they had one. That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I know that some other gun manufacturers have been supporting that caliber.
Well, the PSA, the Palmetto State Armory is off the hook. I mean, that thing is like $350 or $400. I mean, amazing.
Yeah. Here's some inside news. Smith & Wesson is coming out with a lever action.
Ooh. Okay. I love lever action. That's a
really.
They're so much fun.
So what's it? You talking about like a 30-30 or what?
Yeah.
I'm not sure of the caliber because I test fired it. He let me shoot it. I'm still not sure of the caliber because I was getting weak. But
it was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah. It was almost dinner time for four. It was tactical looking. It was black, very, very nice. So good for
that's
them.
Cool.
It's been a month ago at least. I don't know what the latest is.
Wow, that's great.
Well, that is pretty good. We got about 30 seconds before we wrap up. The rest of the show, guys. But great
show. Right, love the camera. I love this. We make a good team here.
Yeah,
this was pretty good. It's definitely the A team. You know,
this
I mean,
this is the A team,
except for one person. You know, but yeah, it's definitely the A team.
Look, but still, I mean, Scott is a sponsor, so invite him back anyway.
I have to be here. I'm default. You know, I can suck, and I still have to be here.
See, I said it was the A team, except for one person, because I wanted to see who would think that I was talking about them. And Brett, immediately. Flip gave me a signal with a digit on his hand. Mm-hmm. And so he automatically assumed I was talking about him, which surprises me. That hurts my feelings, Brett. But
yeah.
Chip, I don't care.
All right. So look, we're at the tail end of the show. I got 37 seconds. So look, a shout out to the Wounded Blue, the woundedblue.org, Lieutenant Randy's 501c3 that he founded. And look, they've still got the guitarsforcops.com going, where you spend $1,000 to get a guitar signed by your favorite country music artist. That's guitars, number four, and cops.com. Also, a shout out to Aero Precision. We've got Gauls, AFireGunLearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, and MyMedicare.live. Also, a shout out again to Brian Burns for the free press at TampaFP.com. And of course, we've got Red Voice Media at redvoicemedia.com. Thanks, guys, for your support. Remember, next week, I will be on vacation. We're all taking off, but we will have some premium content going on. We will still have the stream going during the lunch hour, and we'll be on conversing with you as best we can. Have a great week.